WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. 518 years later, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie won the Virginia Tea Party Convention straw poll for president, beating out Sarah Palin, who came in a close second, followed by Ron Paul, Newt Gingrich, and Jim DeMint. Okay, it has nothing to do with Columbus, but here we are. Happy Columbus Day. And because this is a school holiday and because education reform is so front and center since the school year began, we have planned some special education programming for today on air and online. So teachers, parents, anyone else interested, heads up. Later in the show, we'll have two separate call-ins, one on how to redesign the fifth grade classroom, a physical redesign of the physical classroom for fifth grade. Everyone welcome to call. And we'll have a call-in on whether great teachers are born or made, and if made, how. But also in an online chat right after the show today, we will tackle the big question of, do we know what works to turn around failing schools? The new movie, Waiting for Superman, asserts that we do, mostly longer school days, longer school year, and a great teacher in every classroom. But we will throw this conclusion open to you at 12 o'clock. I'll hang out online after the show for an online chat on our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. So gather up your education colleagues or parents, get your friends, and get ready to talk back to Superman or support their conclusions at 12 o'clock for an online chat on our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. But first, yes, he put the T in Christie. After just 9 months as governor, Chris Christie wins the Tea Party Convention straw poll for president of the United States this weekend. Over 1,500 votes cast just after tentatively canceling the new Jersey Transit tunnel to Manhattan because of cost overruns. So we will talk about the negotiations for the tunnel, which are ongoing. We will touch on Carl Paladino's latest headline-grabbing speech, too. You just heard that clip in the news. To an audience of Orthodox Jews yesterday, he said he doesn't want people, quote, brainwashed into thinking homosexuality is an equally valid or successful option, unquote. He has spent part of this morning, by the way, trying to walk that back a little bit. And we will preview the first Cuomo-Paladino debate, which has just been agreed to, which will take place with all the minor party candidates on stage as well a week from today at Hofstra University. WNYC's political reporter Bob Henley is here for this. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Let's begin with the tunnel. And let's do some background, because I think people are hearing very simply, oh, Christie canceled the tunnel. He doesn't want the tunnel. He wants money to go to cars, da-da-da-da-da-da. Why was a second New Jersey transit tunnel to Manhattan going to be built in the first place?
This has been going on for decades. The current circumstances of ancient tunnel, a century old, and one that creates a situation where there's so much additional train traffic that can't be accommodated by it. It is really a kind of civil defense hazard, if you will, because often you have to be pulled over to the side because there's this tunnel, this single tunnel, even though rail traffic since has increased exponentially. New Jersey made a major investment over the last decade in increasing Midtown direct traffic. For many years, the ritual was you went to Hoboken, got out, and took the path. Well, taxpayers and toll payers and everybody else made a commitment to increase this Midtown direct traffic. Now the question is this tunnel. For years, it was something that New Jersey transportation advocates pushed hard for, and New York State, not so much. They were more concerned about things that were to the east of the Hudson River. Then, with Governor Spitzer, he took a more regional approach and put his support behind it. So did Mayor Bloomberg. It gradually became mainstream thought. And then, of course, it gathered. There was hope and expectation that it would go all the way to Penn Station. That didn't quite materialize because of construction complications. And so now you have this project during the Corzine administration, just leading up for his reelection campaign. They had a big photo op to announce the start of it. And then, several months later, looking at the current economic circumstance and the fact that the federal government's only going to pay a third of it, Christie waved a yellow flag of caution.
Now, do I have the math right? You said the federal government was only going to pay a third of it. The tunnel was originally going to cost $6 billion, half paid for from Washington as the country's biggest stimulus project. So it gets into Obama infrastructure plans as well as stimulus for job creation, the country's biggest stimulus project, half paid for by Washington, half paid for by the Port Authority, none directly by New Jersey taxpayers as a state expense?
Well, what I remember is that it was actually as low as $5 billion, and that right along as it really came into being a practical reality, the New Jersey piece was always, from my understanding, was going to be in the mix. The problem here is that it didn't really, Mayor Bloomberg had talked about during his congestion pricing campaign that this would be one of the projects that congestion pricing effort would support. That didn't happen. So I think there's a much broader question here, which is the role of the federal government in major infrastructure. There's been, an interesting article that Brookings has put out looking at a national infrastructure bank proposal by Congress members DeLauro, Ellison, Israel, and Weiner, which would build very much on the European Investment Bank, which has been in business for 50 years, where in that case, the European federal government is a major player. Here, as you know, we've talked about this on the show, the Northeast, New York, and New Jersey historically only get 60 cents back on the dollar for every federal dollar that they send down to Washington. That's okay when times are great, but now you're in a situation where times are tight and we're seeing the very incomes that produced some of the greatest wealth for the nation, many of them dealing with foreclosure. So you have to kind of revisit this relationship. Who knows? Is this Christie's opening gambit in a dance with the federal government? We'll have to see.
You have a blog post today on our politics website. It's a freecountry.org, in which you coined the phrase the swamp factor for the legendary cost overruns of anything going through the Meadowlands.
Listen, Brian, you can't have been a reporter since the 1970s and not know what's happened there. I mean, let's look at the Xanadu private-public partnership mega mall that was supposed to cost $1.3 billion. It cost $2 billion to stand, such as it is, and Governor Christie had an independent commission look at it. It evidently needs another $800 million. It's just a chronic problem there, and that's another big part of this to understand is that the project is not just a tunnel, but includes a significant rail yard and several miles of additional rail spur through the Meadowlands. So it's going through some of the most contaminated earth because, you know, we used to make things in this country. When you make things, you spill things. And so I think that what Christie was doing now, this is one of the things, does it play great politically? Yes, but would it also be the right thing fiscally? Maybe.
Here is Governor Christie speaking on Thursday, announcing cancellation of the tunnel because the state can't afford those projected overruns.
The easiest thing in the world would be for me to say, well, let's let it go forward and let whoever else is in this office in 2018 deal with the problem. That's not who the people of New Jersey elected. It's not who I am, and it's not the way I'm going to conduct myself in this office.
So, listeners, is Chris Christie handling himself properly with respect to the tunnel? Is he doing the right thing? At very least, playing a game of financial chicken with Washington and maybe, in fact, canceling it altogether. Go to our website at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show, or our politics website, It's a Free Country, and tell us, do you think Chris Christie is handling the tunnel issue correctly? Or call in 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So that was Thursday, Bob, that clip. For those who did not consume news over the weekend, the tunnel is actually not dead. Governor Christie gave it a two-week study period after he met with the U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood on Friday afternoon. So what happened at that meeting?
Well, what we do know, first of all, the process of stopping the tunnel is moving ahead. This is something all the requirements of standing down the project, and they're considerable, are underway. The press secretary for Chris Christie was very clear about this. out of respect, they are contemplating and listening to the options, which they wouldn't share, that Transportation Secretary LaHood offered them. But at this moment, it's not that he has reconsidered. They just have this two-week study period to see if there's something that can be worked out.
Well, can you envision an option coming from Washington that Christie would accept?
Well, I think here this would be where you get into political calculations. And what you wouldn't want to see is the governor using this leverage, you know, to promote his own political agenda and ignore the federal comeback if it's something substantial. That's why I wish there was more transparency here. I mean, quite frankly, it is tempting when you're on the national stage and you've been rewarded so quickly with this kind of attention. That's why it's very important that we would have these details to see does the federal government come forward and with additional money. But here's the thing, Brian, we need to pull back here because the United States government has been spending hundreds of billions of dollars nation building around the world, and I'm not really clear what we've gotten for that. Now, Chris Christie's not going to engage in that discussion, but I do think we need a broader discussion about just what priorities do we have here because, quite frankly, having gone through 9/11 like everybody else in the region, the rail network was what worked. And we need that redundancy. And it really is a civil defense project because it permits the movement of people very quickly back and forth. And if not that project, which one should be fully federally funded? I can't imagine one.
WNYC political reporter Bob Henley. You can see his Stuck Nation blog, by the way, on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. He writes about Christie and the tunnel today at itsafreecountry.org. And as with anything on our websites, you can talk back to Bob and his opinions, talk back to the governor, talk back to anybody you want. Because, why? It's a free country.
It's a free country.
Andrew in Highlands, you're on WNYC. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, good morning, Brian. Happy Columbus Day.
Same to you.
Thank you. I'm totally super happy that we're not going to do this tunnel. I know the people listening are sad that jobs won't be created, yada, yada, yada. But the point is, it's nice to have a politician actually come up and be honest and say, listen, we can't afford this. Why are we even thinking this? And if you really need to take your automobile, leave your house earlier. You don't want to be stuck in traffic, get on the bus. You know, maybe they should improve the light rail system. But we don't need another tunnel. You know, the last thing I want on my beautiful Jersey Shore is a bunch of more New Yorkers, okay? I don't need any more Bennies down here than we already have had.
Andrew, thank you very much. I guess that's one way to look at New Yorkers. Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was just saying that one of the things, part of the backstory here is that our transportation trust fund, there's an oxymoron, is just about depleted. And so there's controversy. And we also have one of the lowest gasoline taxes. And that is something that Christie made as a you know, something that was a fundamental part of his platform of getting elected, that he wouldn't raise it. So there's much discussion by folks who are advocates of the tunnel, will just raise that gasoline tax and you have more than enough money. But that still doesn't get at the underlying problem of cost overruns in construction in New Jersey. I mean, do I need to say things like the school construction authority? I mean, there was a multi-billion-dollar travesty someone should have gone to jail over, and I think maybe a couple of people did. I mean, that was another example of a huge project, very meritorious, that just didn't work out.
Artie in Denville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Artie.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
All right.
I'm behind him 100%. I think he's taking a stand, and I think he's acting in a fiscal responsibility, very of great concern. And I just feel that, you know, so many times politicians go along with the status quo, and he's you know, said no, and I like it.
Artie, thank you very much. Is the tunnel, Bob, an example of why the governor won the Tea Party convention straw poll for president in Virginia yesterday? He says he's not running, but over 1,500 Tea Partiers gathered in the state of Virginia yesterday and voted, and he beat out Sarah Palin by half a point, Ron Paul, Newt Gingrich, Jim DeMint. Further down the line, that is some heavy right-wing cred, if nothing else.
Well, I think that he has been traveling nationally, and that's not to be dismissed. The other thing is that he actually is governing a state, which Sarah Palin got weak in the knees when she had to do. So I think what you're seeing here is that Christie has an opportunity to really affect policy, rightly or wrongly. I mean, he does have this stubborn streak that we saw with the teachers, that when he gets into a position he believed is principled, he sticks with it. Now, we haven't seen him govern long enough to understand how much is there wisdom that's in that mix. We'll have to see.
Andrew in Philadelphia, you're on WNYC. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. Governor Christie spends a lot of time talking about fixing the long-term structural problems in New Jersey, whether it's taking on the unions or other issues, taking on the pensions, and he's just being totally short-sighted on this. This access to New York is a long-term structural issue for New Jersey, and if he doesn't get the tunnel built now, New Jersey is going to be paying for it a decade from now, 20 years from now, which is what he claims to be so worried about.
Andrew, thank you. And Bob, what about that argument that if New Jersey needs to cut its budget, cut its operating expenses, cause a lot of pain in the short term because those are not, you know, recurring revenues paying for recurring expenses. Here, if you are getting even just a 50% off sale on basic infrastructure for basic economic growth, and I say 50% off sale because depending on the numbers, maybe the federal government contribution and the Port Authority contribution will make up at least 50% of the cost of this tunnel. And then you've got this, you know, holy grail of what money should be spent on according to almost all good government accountings, and that is basic infrastructure to the economic hub to grease the wheels for economic growth over the future, not to mention the short-term jobs. I mean, there's a, you know, a compelling argument for the tunnel and taking on this debt.
I guess it depends on how much time you spent looking underneath existing tunnels and trestles in New Jersey, and I've done a fair amount of it, Brian. And it's already in really critically bad condition. I mean, really bad. And so it's something where, yes, you know, this is something that sounds like it's meritorious, but we have to look at what the status is of the current thing. I mean, there are train stations that are closed now. There is sidewalks that are buckled. There is iron re-rod coming through. It's a disaster. It is a scandal. It's existing infrastructure today. And we need to have a national conversation about just what is the federal government's responsibility. I mean, for decades, we've done these shows. We were doing things like send money down to the TVA so Tennessee can be settled. I've seen pictures. It's settled. So this is needs to be part of a much larger national discussion
about where our federal
governments put our priorities.
By the way, did you say this tunnel is not even going to make it all the way to Penn Station where the rest of the New Jersey Transit trains come in?
Well, this has been something that was of consternation, particularly to Jeff Tittle from the Sierra Club and others who were watching very closely. In point of fact, it is going to have its own kind of subterranean station. I'm sure it'll be perfectly serviceable at Herald Square, about like 160 feet down. So if you know what the metro incline is at, like Washington, you'll feel like the flying nun on the escalator.
So it actually goes a little bit further into it goes where the PATH train goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be its own new station, though. I mean, that's pretty exciting.
All right. Well, let's take that imaginary tunnel across the Hudson River and talk about the New York State governor's race for a couple of minutes. You said it. I did. Here is the Carl Paladino campaign speech line from yesterday making headlines today. Here we go again.
My approach is live and let live. I just think my children and your children will be much better off and much more successful getting married and raising a family. And I don't want them to be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is an equally valid or successful option. It isn't.
So the context was a speech to an Orthodox Jewish group. He says his philosophy is live and let live. And then in the same line, he calls people brainwashed who are different in sexual orientation from him.
Or he didn't want them to be brainwashed, I guess.
He didn't want children to be brainwashed.
Right.
And, of course, we know Paladino's heterosexual morality includes a second family, second mother of a child.
He is right to life, Brian.
A child by that
mother. You'll take
him for
that, right? Yes. He's right to life.
He's involved with both families, and he's been accusing Andrew Cuomo of legendary prowess without offering evidence of affairs on Cuomo's part. But does this all hurt Paladino politically, or is it just further firing up his base?
I think it depends on, I mean, what is his base? You know, he got 240-some-odd thousand people on a particular day out of 3 million Republicans. If that's a base, then he's got a lot of work to do. I think that one of the things that's going on here is that this is certainly playing to Andrew Cuomo's strengths. I was at an event which I really thought was the first real energetic Cuomo campaign election event I saw up in Westchester where pro-choice and reproductive right activists just filled the steps of Westchester County Center there supporting Cuomo, where he made, you know, really clear distinctions between his pro-choice stand and that of Carl Paladino. So from my standpoint, he is actually galvanizing Cuomo's base.
And it could be, because Cuomo is not doing a lot to generate a whole lot of enthusiasm among Democrats. And so perhaps if Democrats are fired up, it's going to be to stop Paladino as he alienates one Democratic constituency after another. We will see. He's also trying to walk this back a little bit this morning. I think there's been some backlash that his campaign doesn't like. For example, looking at this AP story that ran just an hour ago, he said that he does not discriminate against gays in his business, and that he hires gays and would hire gays.
He has a gay nephew. I believe there's also a gay employee. But, of course, the problem here is this comes in terms of the macro moment, this brutal beating up in the Bronx, this horrendous circumstance of this young man from Rutgers that committed suicide. It shows a kind of disconnect from the regional narrative. And so if you're going to govern the state, that's going to be a problem, I think.
But he's invoking religion here. He says, quote, this is on the Today Show today. He said, I wanted to clearly distinguish that my feelings about homosexuality were no different than those of the Catholic Church. I'm a Catholic. I wanted to make it clear what my position was, and I think I clearly defined it. That's not how God created us, he said yesterday, being gay. And that's not the example that we should be showing our children.
Well, all of this offers both Cuomo and Paladino a pass on a question that both should be asked today, which is where they stand on what looks like the implosion of the foreclosure process, because the banks were so greedy to get it done that they just didn't do what they needed to do. So we have this odd situation where the major banks are moving towards a foreclosure moratorium, and the Obama White House is saying, not so fast, maybe there are some foreclosures we can move ahead with. Now, that's the kind of question I'd like to ask a potential governor about.
And there will be the chance for at least somebody to ask that question, because the other big news in the governor's race is that they now have scheduled a televised debate for next Monday, the 18th, at Hofstra, and this will include all the minor party candidates. Do you know offhand how many total debaters that is?
I know that there's Charles Barron, and there's also Mr. Hawkins, the Green Party, and you must have some of the rest.
And I think there is actually a Tea Party on the ballot that is separate from Paladino's Republican and Conservative Party lines. So there will be a number of people on that stage, and I don't know the precise number. I guess politically my question is, might this hurt Cuomo potentially more than Paladino because of Cuomo's somewhat weak standing with black Democrats, while Councilman Charles Barron is one of the other candidates running, as you mentioned, on the Freedom Party line on somewhat of a black issue-centered platform?
I think it's actually, having looked at Barron's platform, it's actually more working class and like the things he calls for, like free mass transit. I mean, he has a really brutal critique of the current national moment in terms of what's happening to the poor and the working class, in terms of even after the election of President Obama, the misery index continues to rise. Is that a problem for Cuomo? Yes, it is. The question, though, is what does Carl Paladino do in that mix? And, you know, if Cuomo continues to come off as he has on the campaign trail as being, you know, the reasonable one who is capable of, and let's face it, he's had some big successes here. I mean, this conviction of Alan Hevesy in the pay-to-play controller scandal is not insignificant. That was one rock nobody else really wanted to move, and there's a lot of creepy crawlers still under there to be resolved.
All right. We've got it as, according to our crack political debate research team, Andrew Cuomo, Carl Paladino, Kristen Davis, Howie Hawkins, Charles Barron, and Jimmy McMillan. So there may be six candidates on that stage. Obviously, we will closely cover that debate when it takes place next Monday. And we thank WNYC intrepid political reporter Bob Henley. You can see his Stuck Nation blog on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. And you can also listen to our election season podcast, Digesting Politics, every week between now and Election Day. Bob and Andrea Bernstein and Ozzie Paber and I get together over lunch to talk politics in a 15-minute podcast. We just recorded a new one on Friday. And, Bob, you know that our listeners can even hear Ozzie Paber talking politics on Novocaine in this edition.
Yes, it's true.
So get the free Digesting Politics podcast at itsafreecountry.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More in a minute.